Hello, everybody, and welcome to 3-Point Perspective, the podcast about illustration, how to do it, how to make a living at it, and how to make an impact in the world with your art. I'm Jake Parker.
I'm Lee White.
And I'm Will Terry. And all three of us are professional illustrators. And for the last, 25 years, we've all worked with just about every major publisher in the business. We've together published somewhere between 50 and 1,000 books, and we've all taught illustration at universities.
Yep. Every week we come up with a new topic in illustration. Sometimes we're going to agree, sometimes we're going to argue, but every time you are going to learn something new.
Sounds good. All right, guys. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Hanging in there. Will, you doing good?
Doing great. Yeah.
I'm on my last week of a book project. That's always a fun little moment.
I thought you were going to say you're on your last week of toilet paper.
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I'm now working at Target. I got the red shirt.
You do look like a Target employee.
No, it's funny because I got this red polo a while ago, and I'm like, I can't wear this to Target or I'm going to get asked.
Yeah.
Where's the toilet
that
paper?
Is,
yep, no, that's
that
how is you can get whatever you want to. You wear that and then you just kind of can steamroll any over people, basically. I need to get through here. Manager coming through.
You think I could just walk in the back room with this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe we should get Will a little plastic like name tag that he can pin to his shirt.
Just says Will.
That just says Will on it.
You could probably get so far in life if you had enough colored shirts and name tags that you could just wear to different places.
But
you go to Home Depot, you put on the orange.
Walk fast with a purpose.
Yeah.
And you have
I tell you this, you match that. You have the shirt, the name tag, and then if you're holding a clipboard, you could do it. You could take a company car out of the parking lot, I bet.
Yeah. Clipboard and like a headset for bonus points. It'd be funny. You're watching one of those spy films and they open up the drawer with all the passports, but it's just like, it's like name tags from a bunch of different supermarkets. There's like a red shirt and a blue shirt from Walmart.
That'd be a fun experiment, actually. That would be a fun experiment.
What you said you just finished up a book project.
So I'm finishing up a book project. I'm on the last week and I have a new part of my process that I'll share with you guys because it's such an enjoyable thing. I try to be ahead of the deadline. You know, we always have projects that we're just turning in, barely making it to the finish line. And those are always really stressful. So I try to push my deadline out knowing that I can finish a little bit early, like a week early, say. And then so I get done with the book project and then I come back to the images and I spend 1 hour. My rule is just 1 hour on each image. And some images don't need that much. I just basically look at it and be like, oh, I can add this little thing over here. Or I'm going to adjust the value here. I mean, it's just like 1 hour to spend with a finished, basically it's a finished image. But you've dedicated time to it and it's so enjoyable because you're just adding things and getting rid of things that may have sort of annoyed you once they went in print, but you're too tired to do, you know, when you're making the actual art. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's where I'm at right now. Just going through each one, kind of tweaking little expressions and changing a hand position or whatever. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's that last like 1% of work that is like 80% of the polish, you know?
That's right. That's exactly good way to put it. But I used to not do that. And then the books would come out and I'd be like, oh man, I wish I'd change that guy's leg or, you know, whatever. But I didn't have time or energy to do.
Yeah, you have to stay on top of that. I just finished up sending all the files in for my Kickstarter. So the Drawings
Cool.
5 book, I sent all the files to the printer. I sent all the rewards, extra like bookmarks and prints and all that stuff. I sent those to my other printer. And that is like it's so relieving to have that off my plate now.
Just done.
Yeah, it's just in the hands of other people now.
Nice. So you're wrapping up stuff. I'm wrapping up stuff. Will, you wrapping up anything? What are you doing?
I'm halfway through an illustration job for a college prep school. So it's a little story. Whoa. It's a fun little story that I'm doing for a.
Is it a book or where does it go?
It's a learning to read book. So, yeah.
Cool. Wait, it's for college prep, but
well,
it's learning
to
read?
There, it's one of those schools that you buy. I don't know. It's one of those schools that takes kids all the way from elementary school through high school. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Like a, I don't know what you call it, like a tutorial. It's like an after school. It's like additional. It's like if the kids didn't have enough work already, now they got to
like
do
supplementary
this. Supplementary
stuff.
Supplementary, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe I'm calling it the wrong thing.
That's a pretty specific gig. How'd you get that?
That was actually one where I actually knew the brother of the woman who is one of the owners, one of the vice presidents of the company. And they're big. They're global. But I just happened to know her brother, and they were looking for an illustrator, and it just kind of worked out that way.
It's a fun project. Fell in your lap.
Yeah. And then I did it some test images for a game. We'll see if I get that.
Working on some weird stuff.
Weirdly good. Weirdly.
Yeah, that's cool. Fun. You're like game guy now, like with the game boards and the cards.
Yeah, and that the game that I got was from a game I did called Flashlights and Fireflies, which the game creator loved the art that I did, and he's working with a different company, but he begged them to ask me to work on his new game that he sold to them. And he keeps messaging every time. He's like, have you made the bid yet? Have you done? Did they accept your bid? How's it going? Right. I really want you to do this. So anyway, we'll see.
Cool. Hey, I want to pitch a game. This is kind of non sequitur, but since we're talking about games, I rarely come across a game. My son plays a bunch of games on the iPad, and they're all the graphics sort of look the same. I mean, some games are obviously better than others, but none of them really stand out to me. There's a couple of those like silhouette black kind of games that look really cool, where it's almost like a side scroller, but everything's in silhouette. Mm-hmm. Love those, but he downloaded a game the other night called Sky. Have you guys seen it?
Uh-uh.
No.
You guys should Google it real quick. It is like being in a Miyazaki film, except for you have control of the main character, and it's a benign kind of base game. So you're not trying to like kill everything, and you're not trying to crush other people, and it's kind of this it's a game where you're kind of about sharing things, but it's not pandering to kids or anything. But man, he downloaded that thing, and it is beautiful.
Huh.
I mean, it is such a level above. I've never seen anything like it, actually. It's like controlling a full like motion picture, like controlling a character within a motion picture.
Wow.
I'll have to check
it's
it good. Out. That's really
it's called
cool.
Sky.
Is it an app that you can have?
It's an app. Yeah. He just downloaded it from the iPad.
So you can play it on the iPad.
Hmm. Yeah. And it's free for the most part. It's just shocking how good it was.
Wow.
Anyway, pretty cool. Be a good segue, actually, into the topic. Should we dive into the topic?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Let's do it.
All right. So this topic, I'd like to give a little backstory. Everybody loves the backstory. So yesterday, I had texted Will and Jake, and we were talking about this project that I may or may not do. And Jake said something that was interesting to me in trying to decide if I should take this job or not. He said, it's either a hell yes or it's a no. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought about that for a long time. We kind of bantered around like, hey, that's okay. That's our topic today. but in what capacity do we do it? And so to rephrase that, I kind of rephrased it into how do we make the art that we want to make? I thought we'd start there. It's almost like a decision-making kind of podcast. How do you figure out where you want to be and what you want to be doing? And as I thought back on my years of being a teacher, I thought how few times I've ever heard anybody ever say, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And you know, what does the ideal thing look like? I used to work with all these illustrators at the school I was at in Portland. It was mainly an entertainment school. So I was teaching concept art. I was teaching pre-viz for animation stuff, but not a lot of illustration at that school. But then I'd get students in there who want to be an illustrator. And so we would try to kind of like shoehorn this illustration career into something. Like it's really a kind of a circle into a square hole. You know, it just didn't make any sense. And I thought to myself, and that's a time where the student never said, hey, what do I want to be doing? Where should I be and where would the best thing for me to be? So they were, you know, They got this second-rate education, basically, because they had to force something that wasn't natural. So I'm going to ask you guys some questions. I'm going to interview you guys a little bit, and we're going to kind of meander through this. And feel free to add, because I don't really know where we're going with it. But that was kind of my premise.
Okay, cool.
Where we're going to start. Okay, so step one, figuring out what you really want to be doing or figuring out what you really want. So what in you guys' opinion would be your dream assignment and why?
Oh,
like
wow.
If a client called and just gave you, you know, carte blanche, anything you want, what would it be?
Dream assignment.
Yeah.
This
I'm assuming
is
that
like
it pays well.
Is this sort of like a shoot your shot type of thing? Like, I remember on Twitter 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, there was a thing where it's like, hey, is there a job that you always wanted? Here's your Twitter thread to comment or at reply to the person who has the power to give you this job. And so all these people are like, well, I would love to do, you know, a movie poster. And so they would, you know, contact, you know, a movie studio and say, here's my illustration portfolio. I want to do movie posters. And it's cool to see like what kind of work actually came from that. Like stuff.
I haven't seen that, but that's exactly what this is. I just don't think we spend enough time asking ourselves that question, which then sets up what school do I go to? What classes do I take? What's in my portfolio? Who am I advertising to? Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question for me, right now, if someone approached me and said, Jake, we love your style. We like your, we love the energy that your art has. We really like what you're doing here. And we think it'd be perfect for our tabletop game. I would, you know, we want you to be like the visual voice of this game. And here's the idea. It's right up. The subject matter is right up your alley. It's stuff you already like to draw. That would be a job I wouldn't be able to say no to, I don't think. If there was also, I mean, there's one side of it. If the pay was also.
Yeah, but we're just fair, assuming that it's a good, that it's right? a good pay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is that kind of what you're asking?
Yeah. But what was your answer again specifically? Like it's a game or what?
It'd be a tabletop game, like a board game. You know, so the job would entail art for the box, individual art pieces for the cards or the game board, the figurines, if there are figurines in it, stuff like that. So just designing a thing from ground up. I think that'd be really cool.
Okay. Well, I'll follow up with Will in a second, but let me follow up with you right now. So if that's the thing that comes to your mind, how much have you pursued that thing and why aren't you doing that now?
Very good question. I have not pursued it because when I see when I look at the game board landscape, I don't see my style fitting into that. And maybe that's the perfect reason to pursue this. Because, but usually when I don't like the other thing is I love drawing comics, but I've always had this cartoony style. It's really one foot strongly in like a cartoony animated style, right? I don't draw humans very realistic. You know, every machine that I draw has some sort of like wonkiness to it that you would see in more in a children's book than anything. And so I've always like shied away from doing mainstream comics because when I look at what mainstream comics mostly is offering, it's very much a foot in more realistic proportions to the characters and things like that. But what I've been seeing lately is there's a handful of artists who are pushing the style in a more cartoony direction in mainstream. So you see this in like with some of the X-Men books, and some of the Marvel books. And what I realized was like, oh, I didn't, you know, I shouldn't let what I think people want decide for me what I pursue. Like I could have been that guy that made things a little bit more cartoony by just like putting myself out there and doing it. So,
right. So you basically almost had assumption like, oh, I can't do games because games look like this and I don't look like that. So,
yeah.
So it almost self-limited in a way, kind of like what I was talking about, the games and that Sky game, like all the games look a certain way. And then all of a sudden this one game comes out that doesn't look that way. And it's freaking mind blowing. So it's weird that we would put that kind of limiter on. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then I think that's the biggest, my biggest thing is stopping me from that. The other thing is just not knowing the landscape of the industry that well. Like, who would I contact? Who would I reach out? And it's so outside of what I've done before that, you know, with board games that, another factor is I don't play a ton of board games. I just don't have, maybe I do have time, but I haven't allocated time to that. Maybe it's, I don't have people to play with. So it's not a world that I'm intimately familiar with. I just always think of it as such a cool, creative problem to solve. So I feel like that's the two things pushing me back is A, my style doesn't fit that world, and B, I'm not an insider, and so I have no business, you know, being an artist for that.
So if a student came to you and gave you this exact same parameters and said, Jake, what should I do? What would you tell him to do? Do you say, what would the next step be if you said, you know what, I do want to explore that?
Yeah, so here's the advice I usually give students, because I have been, I mean, this is not unfamiliar to me, this sort of questioning. What I say is do your homework first. Go buy, check out from a library, because oftentimes libraries have a board game repository that you can check board games out. But for this particular one, I would just say, do your homework and figure out what is out there. Go to YouTube and type in game design, or, you know, top 10 mistakes, you know, game designers make, top 10 things that a game developer looks for in a game, and just start educating yourself about the world and about what it actually takes to be a part of that world. Pretty soon you're going to start seeing specific names pop up of contributors to this field. You're going to start knowing what is mainstream and what's on the fringes, and you will start to be like an outsider insider, right? Like a person.
I think a lot of students have that question. They think, you know, the answer to that question, what would I do? You know, what's my dream project? It's going to be everything. Like, I want to be a book illustrator. I want to be a concept artist for a feature film, like every one of those things. And then that starts the next question. Well, what do you do next?
Yeah. Then once you've done the homework, then I would just start reaching out to these names, these people, these companies, and not with a goal to eventually work with them. But the immediate goal is just to make friends, just to basically say, here I am, keep me on your radar and keep in touch with them. Because you really do have to, I think, with a lot of this stuff, is have a long game mentality. Like, it's the you know, this isn't going to pay off in 6 months. It might not even pay off in a year. This is like maybe next year, maybe 2 years down the line, this thing will really, you know, come to fruition. But in the meantime, you could still make a friendship and have and almost have that be its own reward as well, right?
So
basically networking and educating yourself would be the two things you would go down.
So to dive into this even a little bit deeper, so your dream job would be to do this board game, but so your answer to that question is something that you're not even going to pursue?
Did I say I wasn't going to pursue it?
I don't know. Are you?
We don't think you're going to do it, Jake.
It's just an interesting dynamic that I wouldn't have anticipated.
I have started to pursue that in certain ways. I mean, this is really getting uncomfortable for me because this is like me not being
I got you on the spot.
Yeah, well, it's me not being like Mr. Sure of himself, but tiptoeing into.
No, like, I love. That's why I want to dig in, because I think a lot of people feel that way.
So what I've been doing in the past, I have these phases. I don't know if you guys do this, but I go through these phases where I get hyper focused on a certain subject matter, and it's all I can think about for 2 weeks. And I usually burn through that feeling in 2 weeks, and I move on to something else. But what I pay attention to is how often I come back to that particular thing. So like a couple months ago, it was telescopes and like star watching, stargazing. I got really into it. And I'm like, how much does it cost to get like a sweet setup? And how do I get into like taking photography?
Amazon is so dangerous in those manic phases.
Right. And so I'm learning all about it. And luckily it burned through in about a couple weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. And I moved on to other things, but I know if I come back to that next year, you know, if I cycle through that feeling a couple more times, then I realize, okay, this is something I should probably maybe pursue a little bit, because it's not something I'm getting bored of, but I'm coming back to. The thing with board games has sort of been the same thing. And in the last couple of weeks, I've been doing this hyper, like intense studying of what are the most popular games, what's been going on the last 10 years in board games, because there's been this huge growth and expansion in the board game world. If you go to any sort of like boutique toy store, back when toy stores were open or stores were open, but if you go to those, there's a wall of board games, and there's a lot of these Euro-centric, like these boards that are coming from the, you know, Europe. There's you know, the United States has its own kind of board game as well, aesthetic and mechanics to it. And there's just this world of board game people and creators and all that stuff. And as I was going through that, I actually got contacted by a game maker, and they're like, hey, we need some art for something, but the schedule is way too tight. And I said, I can't drop everything to work on this. If you had said, hey, we've got 6 months to do this, and I could sort of fold it into my schedule, that'd be different. But basically we ended up talking initially about his assignment, but then I started probing him and asking questions about the industry and how it works and what things are, you know, happening in it and the economics behind it. And at the close of it, I said, hey, if you ever want to work with me on something, I'm open for that. And he was very like open to that. He, you know, as well, he's like, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll definitely keep you in mind. This is great to know. So that's me planting seeds and hopefully making something happen.
Cool. That's really interesting. I didn't anticipate that answer. That was fun to dive into. Will, what do you think? You got your client calls, blue sky project, pays what you want. What would it look like, and what would the art look like?
I can't follow Jake. He gave like a half an hour answer.
No, I'll dig into you too. Don't worry. Don't worry.
It is not a competition.
But if it was, Jake won.
I just want to draw rocks. You know, nice. Small rocks, medium rocks, big rocks.
Brown
I'll
rocks.
Be, while
brown
Will's rocks. Answering, I'll be right back, okay?
Take
Don't
your time.
Say anything bad about me.
Wow. Okay, so let me ask this question back. Does this have to be a client, or is this a project?
It can be anything. I mean, it can be anything. What does it look like? I mean,
because my answer would have been different.
If it has to be somebody hiring you.
Well, yeah, and also in the past, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for about 30 years. In the first 10 years, the question would have definitely been from, you know, I would have answered it based on a client giving me a job. And in the last 10 years, it's changed to my own personal projects, because I've gotten to the point where I've realized that, aside from the Bonaparte books, which really have been dream assignments, you know, they were written. Bonaparte books were written by Marjorie Kyler, and it's the imprint is Crown Books from Penguin Random House is the publisher. That project has been amazing because I've basically been able to do what I've wanted, And the thing is, when you're given a client project, you're illustrating things that you wouldn't have ever done on your own. You know, you just wouldn't have generated those kinds of illustrations. So I have to be able to say, well, there are some client projects that have become dream projects that I never thought they were a dream. But after I've seen the finished product, I'm like, wow, I got to do that. But if you know, most client projects aren't dream jobs. Most that sometimes I've thought, well, this is going to turn out great. And then the art director or the committee ruins it. So what was looking like a dream project ended up not being a dream project. So I'm actually working on a bunch of them right now. What I would consider dream projects. And, you know, one of them is the Kickstarter that I'm going to launch as soon as people are focused on getting back to their lives rather than the pandemic.
Yeah, we're recording this in late April for you guys, just so you know.
So maybe it's already launched by now. I don't know. That's a dream project that's coming true. Another one is a game that I'm working on my own. And in fact, we mentioned earlier in this podcast that I'm, you know, getting ready to do a game with a company where they contacted me. I already pitched them. I told the art director, hey, I'm working on my own game. She's like, oh, I want to see it. So without an NDA, I showed her a few pieces of art, and she's like, well, we have game designers here. If you want, it could be a collaboration too. We could help you with the mechanics of the game. So I don't know where that's going to go, but that's a dream project that I've already been working on. The one that I'm currently working on, I'm just going to share my screen for you guys. I don't know if this will hit YouTube because I don't know if Aaron, when they edit it, is going to,
I think they do. I mean, it's recording the screen. So
if you guys are listening on the podcast, if you go to our YouTube channel at Society of Visual Storytelling, you might be able to see this section where I'm sharing a piece of art. But it's basically, they're kind of gallery pieces, but I want to illustrate morals for parents to kind of give to their kids as either writing prompts or as posters in their bedroom.
How kids love morals.
Whole idea is there won't be a moral. I know, right?
It's not heavy handed, is what you're saying.
You won't unless it's for the viewer to see the moral in there. If you don't see it, you don't see it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to put that in there.
Right, let me and Jake try to figure out the moral on this image that's up on the screen now.
I'm going to stop sharing now so you guys don't.
Jake, you got any? Did you know what the moral was, Jake?
Those who make homes of mushrooms not smoke them. I don't know.
You guys. You
can't smoke a mushroom, can you?
Oh, no.
I love creating images with stories in them. And I love, I feel like I'm finally at the point in my career where I can take the time to do a project like this where I can fit it in with the other stuff that I'm working on. And I just, you know, I love being my own art director. I feel like I'm at a point where I can design an image and I can tell a story without, you know, someone coming in and mucking it up.
Yeah. What do you think of the advice to get to if a student came up to you and I guess the topic is, you know, do you agree with the idea of asking somebody, what is the best thing that you could make, like that you would want to make just in your heart of hearts, and then start there? And do you build a portfolio around that as a student, or do you go through the school of hard knocks and just work with whatever you can and then do this later in the career? Is this a question that people should ask all their career, or is this a late mid to late career kind of question?
I think students should be focused on projects and doing their own work on the side, even when they're in school. I remember being in school and having, you know, working on my own paintings and having students go, oh, what assignment is that for? What class is that for? And I'm like, it's on my own. And they were surprised and blown away. Like, you can do that? Like, you're actually working, you're doing more work than you need to right now. And I'm like, yeah, because this is going to be my job this is what I want to do for a career. I'm not going to just leave it up to the assignments that the teachers give. I'm going to round out my own portfolio. So yeah, the students that I've seen that are doing the best are the ones who give themselves their own assignments, the ones who do comic conventions while they're still in school. I've had students that are doing their own graphic novels, their own comics, their own children's books. And those are the students that I've seen years after school working as an illustrator. The students that take school and they're, and I can't remember how I said this, but it's basically there's students that go to school and students that use school, and the ones that use school tend to do better than the ones that go to school. The ones that go to school are like, they're apathetic for the most part.
They're almost like their way, whatever assignment you give them, that's the assignment they're going
to do. Tell me what to do. Saying. Give me the answers. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. The ones that use school are the ones that are like, school is a tool. I'm going to learn what I can here, but the school doesn't define who I am. I'm in charge of that.
That's interesting what you said, that earlier in your career, that it's not the same answer as you would give now. So early in your career, the art you wanted to make was just as long as it was professional. Was that the criteria?
Yeah, because I didn't have enough skill and I didn't have enough confidence to know. And I probably didn't have enough voice to know what I wanted to say, to do. You know, these illustrating a moral feels to me like I'm doing something that's beneficial to mankind. You know, that I'm doing something that goes beyond just a pretty picture.
Yeah.
And when I, in the first 10 years, I was mostly because of the lack of skill, always worrying about, am I making a pretty picture? You know,
right,
is it
right,
pretty
right.
enough?
And not what it means past that.
Right. Yeah.
That's interesting. So is the work you're doing now, going back to our original criteria, the work you're doing now is a hell yes? All of it is just like full steam ahead. I'm loving this stuff.
Yeah. I love where I'm at right now. I wouldn't trade anything. I love being able to teach, you know, with you guys on svslearn.com. I love being able to work on my own projects. I love the client work that I'm getting. I turn down the client work that I don't want. I don't advertise anymore. So I'm not spending money advertising for work. I'm in the dream place that I've always wanted to be. Yeah.
But I don't want this to fall on people saying, oh, well, it must be nice, because all three of us are sort of in that spot right now. But I do think that it's a good question to ask yourself, you know, like if you're deciding on which classes to take or how to drive your portfolio. I just see so many people moving the pencil and not really going in a direction. You know what I mean? They're drawing and they're painting, but they're not moving their direction, if that makes any sense. Go ahead, Jay.
No, I get what you're saying. The thing that I've noticed in my career is I get job offers to do the thing that I do. So if I'm not doing it, no one's going to think, oh, he's the guy for that job. You kind of have to do it first.
Oh, you're saying so you do a personal piece and then the jobs start coming in that sort of match the personal piece that you did. No, exactly. I've seen that happen a bunch.
You know, I guess to take my advice even further, if I wanted to be better about getting board game work, I would just design my own board game and be like, hey, here's my designs for X, Y, and Z of this board game. I don't know if this will ever become anything, but it's just a personal project of mine. And that might be a way for me to get on the radar of some people.
Yeah. Well, I also think that we live in a different time now, like an interesting time where we can do, even people straight out of school can do, or people in school even can sell their own prints. You know, they can do their own Kickstarter. They can do their own Patreon. You know, there's all these weird little avenues for making something and then marketing that thing that they made that wasn't available, like back when Will was a little whippersnapper. Like it was, you either get hired by the magazine or you're not a professional illustrator, right? There was no secondary market.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's pretty interesting for me. You know, I got this book offer yesterday, and this is what kind of sparked all this whole thing. And I loved what Jake said. It's a hell yes or it's a no. And that really drove the line it kind of made the line in the sand. Do I love this thing enough to spend 6 months with it or not? And it was really clear that I don't.
Right.
You know, so I had to turn it down. But then I started thinking, you know, as I pondered the question, like, what do I enjoy about illustration? Not just the work, not just like when you're done with the work, but what do you enjoy making? What do you enjoy thinking about? What do you enjoy the process of? And for me, you know, I'm like Will, is like it changed over time. I really liked working with clients earlier in my career, but later I have found that I love licensing images. I like to make the thing that I want to make. And then mm-hmm. when that's a done thing, either someone buys it or someone doesn't buy it. And that's mm-hmm. like the most rewarding thing. And that, you know, I go all the way back to being in school. That's what I liked about school is that's the beautiful part about being a student is that you're making things just to make them as good as they can be in your vision. Nobody's really driving it except for you. And your teacher should, if they're a good teacher, they're pushing you in that direction. And once you get into the client world, that changes quite a bit. And what's strange is sometimes the higher you go, the less freedom you have because there's more eyes on it. There's whole committees of people. Like, you know, I've kind of shared some of the different revisions I've had on book projects with Will and Jake, and they're pretty funny. But mm-hmm. but it's designed by committee. And I found that I don't enjoy that as much anymore. And so, you know, I realized like if I'm going to be a book illustrator, and I love being a book illustrator, but I think I just have to control my own book. Like I would still be a book illustrator if I could do my dream project, but it would have to be a book that is just, I'm responsible for, I think.
So you're getting right now, I mean, you're getting manuscripts that you don't like.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like my favorite, and I'm glad you brought that up because I had to question what do I want in a manuscript? And so I saw this really clear line. Like if you look at my work on my website, there's this element of what I like is like slight magic. Like my ideal thing, I think I've described it this way before on this podcast, but you know, a kid goes up to the attic and finds the magic key and that starts something. Like I love those kind of stories. But I don't get those kind of stories. I get stories that, like the past couple of stories I've gotten, don't have any characters and don't have any story. They're sort of lists of things, I guess. Mm-hmm. Very unsatisfying in terms of why I like being an illustrator. I like solving the stories.
Give us a parody of one of those manuscripts.
Okay, here I go. You ready?
Yeah.
I like being with my friends. I like having dessert. Sometimes I like going to the movies.
Sometimes I poop. Yeah, and
people
I've read
doing
some.
Random stuff.
So, I'm listening to this, and I'm not getting any illustration work. And I hear Lee White going, but I'm not getting the kind that I want. And how do we as professionals explain that there will come a time where, you know, if you are early on in your career, all you're concerned with, and I remember being there, all I was concerned with was getting work. And I took everything that came along, whether I liked it or not, just to make money, you know?
Right.
And in fact, then there came a time where I was taking everything because I could make more money, and I was making $120,000 to $130,000 a year for like 3 years in a row in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I was just, I mean, I was in a point where I was like, how can I say no to more money?
Right.
But the stuff that I was producing was horrible. I mean, it was terrible. and it was lifeless. And it's not an exaggeration. I burned, this was when I was painting traditionally, and I burned, physically burned, you know, a stack of about 500, I guess you call them paintings, because they were horrible, and I never wanted to see them again, but I got right. the money. Meanwhile, my friend Brett Helquist, the illustrator for the series of Unfortunate Events, among other many other books and projects that he's illustrated, was starving. I mean, trying, you know, this is before he got the series of Unfortunate Events.
Yeah.
And he was turning down almost everything because it didn't fit his artistic vision. Mm-hmm. So he had artistic integrity and I had zero. I was, you know, I was the, you know, just the art slut, just doing whatever, you know, just taking right. on whatever to do.
Risk for hire, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, he ended up with this amazing dream project, the series of unfortunate events. They later did a movie adaptation with Jim Carrey. And, you know, looking back at my career, I'm like, I should have been somewhere more in the middle where I was more judicious. So it sounds like what you're saying is you don't want to do these projects because you can't get excited about them or you can't do your best work, or what is it?
Yeah. I mean, the story hasn't, if the story doesn't excite me, like, so basically going back, what I figured out is everybody needs to, this is my group teaching kind of thing from this, is making a statement of what you want. You know, remember that book that came out a long time ago? Oprah was really down on it for a little while. I think it was called The Secret.
Uh-huh.
Mm. You guys remember that? I think the premise of it, I think we had it, but I'd read just sporadic little spots of it. But the premise of it is throwing out what you want to happen into the universe. And then hopefully some form of that will come back to you. Uh-huh. Now, maybe it's not, you know, custom made and perfect exactly. But I don't think enough people, no matter where they are in their career, I don't want people to think that this is about, oh, you turn down all the work that you don't like because you're getting all these offers. And that's the only part of this. It's really saying, what do I want to have happen? And then pointing yourself in that direction. And you can do that as a student. You can do that as an early professional, mid-career professional, and then late-career professional too. And so, you know, the statement that I would like to invite you guys to make, this is my challenge to you guys, is come up with what that statement is. I want to, so I just wrote a really quick one. I think I can refine it a lot, but mine was, I want to make images that tell stories and have an element of magic to them. I want to make these images without a lot of feedback from others. I want the process to be experimental and the outcome not to be too definite. I am at my best when I am moving from image to image without the project being too long. And so, you know, each statement that I make, it kind of fine tunes where I want to be.
Mm.
And I don't know, do you guys have a statement like that? Like if you had to say it?
I don't have one written out like that. I sort of have an overall, like an MO, like I call it my manifesto, where it's, I need to, like, these three things need to be a part of everything that I do. I need to be doing some element of these three things. And the first one is provide for my family. So there has to be some sort of, I don't often take on an illustration job just for the fun of it for free, right? There has to be some sort of monetary gain because I do have a family to support. So that's one, there has to be that aspect of it. Number two, I want to just make good things and put good things into the world. Things that are cool, things that like make people inspired to some delight, not inspired to be like, oh, I want to take better care of my neighbor. I don't know, but just like, I just don't want to work on crap. Right. So there's gotta be a level of coolness to it. Right. And then, so that's very broad and that could cover anything. And then my third thing is I want to teach people how to do those two things. I want to teach them how to make money doing their art and how to make awesome art. And so everything that I do falls under those categories. Inktober is teaching people how to become better, you know, at their craft by doing this challenge. Illustration work that I take on is, you know, sometimes I lean more towards this is to provide for my family and it's less about making something cool. But oftentimes I try to balance those two things where it's like, let's make something really cool that also pays. So I think that's where I'm at, but I like this idea of being way more specific about it. Like, you know, I do have this internal compass, though I don't think I've written it out, but it's like, I want to tell stories, with my work. And I don't know. I like sci-fi.
Well, no, but it's a great place to start. And so I'll take it the reins from there, because it's asking yourself those questions, coming up with a statement, and you know, you'll probably revise the statement too as you go. It's not just a quick hit thing, and you really got to dive deep into it. But then the next step, what happens next? And so you got these things, like my criteria was a little element of magic, an element of storytelling, not a ton of time that I have to spend into it. You know, like when you're doing books, you are all in for a long period of time, and that can get brutal in terms of just a level of exhaustion kind of comes in. So I can't just keep doing books over and over. I find I get sort of burned out. So if I want the image to have story and I want to move from image to image pretty quickly, all of a sudden, then you start looking for the market. And so the idea that I had was book covers. It's that exact thing. It's storytelling, quick hit kind of stuff. And you get to, the cool thing about book covers is you get to wrap a bunch of stuff into one image, which doesn't happen sometimes in a longer, you know, 32 page book. You're just illustrating what's on those specific moments or those pages. But, you know, the book cover's cool because you kind of have to encompass the whole thing, the feeling of the book, some of the narrative of the book. You know, you can put bad guys and good guys together in the same image in ways that don't actually happen in the book because you're just trying to sum it up, right? And I realized, man, I love book covers, love doing book covers. And so then I have the conversation with my agent, hey, let's do more book covers. And so then the market takes care of itself. But the starting point wasn't the market. The starting point was, what do I enjoy doing? And that's kind of how I'm driving all this stuff. I like making these kind of whimsical little images. Oh, well, then I came up with this whole set of greeting cards, and the greeting cards have done really well. They're just quick hit stuff. They're done. Stores buy them or they don't, and I can kind of make them as I want to. So I guess I'm just trying to be as specific as I can with what the art is and what the what do I enjoy about it, and then all of a sudden the path of marketing those things becomes more clear instead of starting the other way around. Oh, I want to do this job and then trying to make the art fit that.
I think that's totally like a fair way to go about it. I think that's a good solution.
Yeah. I have these, you know, almost every week, at least once or twice a week, I get asked to illustrate someone's children's book, like that they have an idea they want to produce on their own. And I don't do them, because I have enough work. That would be a huge step backwards. And I even made a video on like 5 reasons why I won't illustrate your children's book. And I used to send that to people. And it's funny because we were talking about this earlier today. And then some of the comments were, all you had to do was say no, you know, like that, like it was overkill. You know, I thought I was doing them a favor by educating them on like the reasons why. Here's 5 reasons or 7 reasons. I think it was 7 reasons why I won't illustrate your children's book. I mean, well thought out reasons. And I still get them just as often as I always did. And I sometimes most of the time they're by people that I don't know, I don't recognize, but every now and then they're from someone that I know. And I feel like I owe those people more of an answer. And so just the other day, someone asked me to illustrate their book. And I said, I don't know. I entertained them just a little bit in dialogue and just to be polite, and said, well, I would have to read your manuscript and fall in love with it. So, and I'd be willing to sign an NDA just to read it. I was curious. It's a friend of mine. And the response I got back was, why do you have to fall in love with it? You know, like, one, I'm not sending you my manuscript because you might steal it. This is someone I loosely know on Facebook. Yeah. But why do you have to fall in love with it? And I thought, wow, that is such a big problem that people don't understand art. They don't understand, that disconnect right there said more than anything.
Yeah. How'd you respond?
I didn't, because they weren't going to send the manuscript. So I figured they'd get the message from that, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe you have to be an artist and work on enough projects and have enough years behind you to actually know why that is so crucial. Because
that you love the thing that you're doing?
Yeah, because to me, I remember I used to get myself into trouble. I used to take a lot of assignments that I ended up hating. I don't do that anymore. I just, just don't. I do everything I can to sniff out, to figure out, to make sure, to protect myself, to provoke, to tease out, to do whatever I can to make sure that this thing isn't going to turn out to go south before I ever sign a contract. Because working on something that you hate as an artist, to me, is worse than digging a ditch, is worse than going outside and doing manual labor.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's an interesting take, because I mean, it sort of plays into the idea that people idealize sometimes what a job entails, and people who aren't doing illustration professionally would never understand that.
Right.
Like, as long as you're getting paid, why would it not be the best thing you've ever done? And,
right.
and or as a student, you could never have convinced me of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because you're throwing away emotional labor. You're, you know, when you dig a ditch, you can disconnect. Your mind is free to wander. You can daydream. You can think about anything. You can plan for the rest of your day. You're getting exercise. It's hard, but your mind is free. When you're working on something that requires emotional labor and you hate it, you're locked in. You can't get away from it.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because I do, it is an important thing. I've seen enough students go through the education process and then enter the professional field where you get this kind of warble right in the beginning of your professional career, where as a student, you're making stuff and you really are in love with the work. Like, I feel like our students at SVS, they really are. And they're excited. Like, you know, as they take a, you know, book cover class from us or they, you know, are watching video class and they all of a sudden level up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And they love it. I mean, they love it. And then all of a sudden you get out into the real world. And what's the reality of that, right? You're not going to get your dream assignment. I mean, we should throw that out there too, is the reality is the assignments that you get are what you get. I'm not getting my dream assignments from clients. I'm kind of all three of us are having to kind of build our dream assignments ourselves. Do you guys see that too? And what advice would you give to somebody who is a student and they say, okay, I'm going to make my statement of what kind of art I want to make. I'm going to make that kind of art. And then all of a sudden they get the call from the client and it's not that exact thing. Do they turn it down at that point? Of course not. You know, they take it, right? I mean, they have to take it. So what advice do you give to that moment where all of a sudden the interest while you're doing the art goes down, as opposed to when you were a student and it was just so much fun?
I think there's a balance there. Like you take the jobs. I mean, ultimately, like you might be better off getting some sort of day job to pay your bills so that you can spend your creative energy on stuff that you're actually really interested in, getting the kind of work that you want to do. So that's one avenue. The other avenue is, okay, if you want to take, you know, if you want to get into, say, children's book illustration, something like that, then you do take on these smaller jobs or these less paying jobs for, you know, maybe a self-published project or a smaller publisher or something like that. But then you can also say, well, I'm going to knock this out of the park. I'm only getting paid $5,000, but I'm going to do a $20,000 job on this, mm-hmm. and just do something killer. And start building your name for that. And one example of this I've seen recently is there's a guy named Daniel Warren Johnson. He's a comic book artist. But before he got into doing real mainstream comics, he started doing commissions for people of comic characters. And that's where you're just hired by, you know, a fan, somebody at a convention, and they just pay you, you know, a few hundred bucks and you do one, you know, character illustration for them. But he was doing like $1,000 character commissions.
Wow.
Just filling the page with detail. And, you know, if it's Darth Vader, I want a Darth Vader. He draws Darth Vader like destroying 30 rebels, you know, just just eviscerating them, right? And it's all dialed up to 11 and it's intense. And as soon as people started seeing these crazy like commissions, more people wanted commissions. So
right.
That led to even, you know, that led to him being able to charge more for the commissions. And he got to sort of flex his muscles, trying out all different kinds of characters that maybe he wouldn't normally have tried.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually that led to more mainstream comic work. Like he was able to just, what he's working on now is Wonder Woman, like DC's third most popular character, right?
Wow.
And all from him just being like, okay, I'm going to kill it doing commissions. So that's, I think there's something to be said about doing work a little bit more passionately and on spec than just taking every money job that comes with you.
I agree. To
you.
I mean, passion gets passion, right? When you do something with passion, people respond with that same energy. And I think it's the same is true when you do something and you're not into it.
Yeah.
People respond kind of lackluster.
Well,
and I actually have a quote that goes with that from my quote book. And it says, this is from Soman Chinani. And this person says, if art is your sole source of income, then there's unrelenting pressure on that art. And mercenary pressure is the enemy of the creative elves inside of you trying to get the work done. So sometimes you do, you can't let all of your creative energy go to stuff that you're not interested in.
Yeah.
It's going to kill your soul. So you have to reserve that creative energy for stuff that you're really into, regardless of if you're getting paid for it or not. And I'm you know, going on the record here to say that if you work on the things that you want to work on, regardless of if you're getting paid for, eventually you'll get known for that and you will get paid to do it. Whether people are paying you directly as a fan of your work or someone with a lot of money behind them is hiring to do something just like what you're doing.
You know, it's funny. I would have fought against that when I was just out of school. I didn't subscribe to that. There was that constant battle between the art department and the illustration department on is illustration art. And It's easy to want to pick a camp and defend that camp no matter what, and not hear the other side of the argument. And the side of the argument that they were making that really makes sense is the fact that In order to really make art, you really have to fall in love with the thing that you're making. And I didn't have enough experience back then to understand how bad and how poorly your art turns out when you hate the project you're working on.
Yeah.
You know, and so
you gotta pay attention to that gut feeling.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you're right. When you're young and you're just starting out, it's not highly developed enough. And then all of a sudden throw some dollars at you. And it's a real tough decision to make, especially when you don't have any money. I was asked to do a 26 book deal right after out of school. That was my first real offer. 26 books, one book per letter of the alphabet. And it was, I did like four sample pieces. It was for Scholastic. And they had all approved the pitch pieces that I did, and I was full steam set up to do it, and it was educational pricing, so it was $3,500 per book. They were like 24, 32 pages each book, and they were all due in a year.
Wow.
So I calculated it up. I was going to have to do a finished illustration every day. That's not including the sketch or anything. I mean, that's like a finished painting every day. And I just had this nagging, but the money, I'd never seen any money like that before. So, you know, I was just adding up that total amount, not thinking of how much work that is, but like, oh my gosh, I'm right out of school and I'm going to be able to make this much money my first year. And it was really, but I didn't have any of the rights to, it was all educational. So I didn't retain copyright or anything. It was work for hire. And
do you remember how much money it was per book?
I think it was 3,500, but between 3,500 and 5,000.
Times 26.
Then, yeah. I remember it being over 100K for the whole amount. I don't remember how that really broke down, but that seemed like an insane amount coming from being a student where I'm, you know, struggling to live and eating, rice and beans to having that much money. And then also there was a pride thing with it. Like I'm a professional illustrator. I've got all these, I'd have 26 books with my name on it, and it's for Scholastic, and that's a company that I recognize. So my ego was playing a part of it,
Was it hard to turn down then?
Well, I kept waffling between it, and I come back to where we started at the beginning of the podcast with that quote that Jake said. It's either it's a hell yes or a no. And that's what I was struggling with. I was so on the fence, like, oh, the money's good. And then I'd make my decision, okay, I'm going to do it. And then I'd have the nagging feeling like, hey, I can't do it. I was painting traditionally in acrylic. I'd have to do a finished painting every day in acrylic.
Wow.
And then I'd say, okay, I got a bell. And then be like, oh, but that money's really good. And it kind of bounced back and forth. And at the end of the day, I asked myself, where do I want to go? What kind of art do I want to be making? Exactly like what this podcast is about. What do I want to make? And I wrote it down. I want to be a trade book illustrator. I want to do these kind of, Lane Smith was my, you know, go-to guy back then. So like, what's Lane Smith doing? Okay, would Lane Smith do this book? And I had to say no. And then so I pulled out of the deal. And man, my art director there was so mad. Mm-hmm. I had already contracted, by the way, to do a separate book for them because they liked the pitch illustrations. And I still had to do that book with the same art director. And she would always reply with just one word answers. Like, here's some sketches. Just let me know what you think. Okay. That's my reply. was awful, but I'm glad I made the decision. You know what I mean? It was not the work I wanted to make, regardless of the money. And I think my career was better for it. I started doing trade books about 6 months later. But I turned down this big old thing looking at me right in the face. But looking back on it, the feeling was so obvious that I was not supposed to be doing that, that project. Yeah. It's sad though, that almost a lot of the stuff in hindsight, you already really knew, but you don't know it at the time.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up. I want to give people a little go-to list here. Here's what I want you guys to do. Think about the art that you want to make. Figure out, what is the best thing you can be doing? What kind of images that you can make that would just make you the most happy, not just for the finished piece, but during the making of the art. And then once you have that, figure out what the next best move is. Do you need to take classes in that thing? Or if you're already good enough at that thing, who do you advertise to? Who's making that kind of work and who's buying that kind of work? Can you sell to them, or can you come up with a product of your own and maybe do it on your own as a Kickstarter? But really use that as kind of the guiding light, is what kind of art you want to be making, and be specific as you can, and don't waste your time on stuff that doesn't move you in that direction. Don't just move the pencil just to be drawing something. It should probably, hopefully, be pushing you towards that amazing thing.
Cool.
All right.
This was fun. It was fun to talk about these kinds of things. Being passionate as an artist is a requirement for success.
Yep.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And 3-Point Perspective is made possible by svslearn.com. We're becoming a great illustrator starts. And your hosts today have been Will Terry, Lee White, and I'm Jake Parker. Will Terry can be found at willterry.com. His Instagram account is Will Terry Art. Lee White can be found at leewhiteillustration.com, and his Instagram account is Lee White Illo. And Jake Parker, my website is mrjakeparker.com, and my Instagram account is Jake Parker. Podcast produced by Aaron Painter. You can find his work at painterdraws.com. Podcast edited by Alex Sugg. That's Sugg with 2 G's. You could find him at alexsugg.com. And our YouTube video for this podcast is edited by Daniel Tu, and that's T-U. That's how you spell Tu. And you can find him at daniel2.co. Podcast, social media, everything done there is shared by Lisa Fott, and special thanks to her for that. Now, if you like this episode, please share it around. You can subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't. If you want to get more of this stuff sent straight to your podcasting machine where you listen to podcasts, do subscribe. We really appreciate it. Also, leave a review if you have anything nice to say about us. We really would love to hear what you think, though. If you're wanting to join in on this particular discussion, we have a discussion going on the svslearn.com forums. So every podcast episode has a thread devoted to it. And this particular episode, I think there's a lot of input that people might have. So please log on over there. The forums are free to join, and let us know your thoughts about this. And I think that's it. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next time.